Well, Gus, there was a private line there. Gus Benson had the private line from here to Woodchop, there's American Creek in Eureka. And then, of course, he'd keep up the line. Then the government would hope so much money every year for the line to the park and up the solar down and things like that.
The NC company, did they just came in here about the same time the mining really came started?
Well, yeah, they had an old outfit, you know, from many years ago.
Was there really anything here until someone came in and started mining?
Yeah, well, I guess there was nothing here until they made the discovery, you know, 1905.
And who was it that was in these parts prospecting? Who made that discovery?
I think Sullivan, old Sullivan was one of the first. Well, there were several around the guy, old Schneider and Sullivan, and I think they were the first guys that found him. And Scott P was one of them, too.
Which creek was that, American Creek?
No, they found that. I think the first place they found gold was on Topsy Gulch.
Oh.
American Creek grew up coming about that time, you know.
Who had the claim on American Creek? Who was the first?
Well, I don't know who was the first. There was a lot of guys there, you know. But Ness, the guy by the name of Ness, was one of the big miners there. He sold out the dredge.
Well, they had dredges mining in this area.
Well, they just have that one on there.
Yeah,
down there
in
the flat.
I can see
that. Oh.
Yeah. Wonder how Woodchopper got it.
Well, no, I don't. I never did hear. Maybe because they chopped a lot of wood around there for. They used a lot of it, you know, for thawing ground when they were drift mines.
Sure, yeah.
So they thousands of cords they cut around there, you know. In the winter. Maybe that's where it got the name.
They'd
let out contracts, you know. Anybody could bid on it, whoever bid it the cheapest got the contract.
Oh, and they just stacked the wood on a certain place along the riverbank and then...
Say they'd want a couple hundred for that Baker Christian, maybe a bunch of Tolovan, and then down there Cross Jacket or someplace.
What was Cross Jacket? Was there, did people live there?
Oh yeah, there was quite a few natives who lived down there. There was quite a few.
It was like a village
at one. Yeah, it was a village. Probably, oh, I'd say a dozen families live down there. Oh, there was a lot of people living on this river. Just about every bend there was a fish wheel and a trap, we didn't trap off, you know, off the river.
Was trapping pretty good back in those days?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It is, something magic.
Mostly Martin?
No, there was just there for, well, probably early days there was a lot of them, but when my time they had them all trapped out here, mostly foxes, you know, lake and mink and stuff like that, rats and moles.
Beaver out
and
stuff like
that.
What about wolves?
Well, there was, you know, a lot of women called quite a few wolves out. But there was a lot of guys trapping them, you know, every trap it is. Kind of coming down a little bit to get a few longer
nights. Sure.
Then they had a bounty on them too, and they dig them off in the spring. They go look for dens, you know, and you get $20 for the pups or anything.
I suppose the skins weren't selling for that much.
No, $6-$7 a piece.
For a wolf hide?
$5-$6 for a wolverine.
Oh, God.
But like Martin, and links and that, they wasn't too bad. Right? Well, at one time, foxes were real high, but when I first come along here, foxes and sheep, they were, I don't know, they were too bad. But. See, the thing is, you know, this guy that lived here, Kim Willard, he said, Morrison, the guy had that store, the NC bought him off. But he had a big fox farm here. And that's when foxes are really in style, you know, and he'd get these guys, they'd dig them out, you know, go around, and he was raising them. And they'd get $1,000 for a fox, for a silver fox or a black fox.
Oh, they bring them to him live?
Yeah, right, they bring them live, you know, foxes go around the hill to find the bends, and of course, that was a lot of money at that time.
Sure.
And then he raised, that's when that big boom was coming out. He'd pair them up and raise them, and he'd sell them to the guys that want to start these fox farms, and he'd give a horrible price for them. You know?
Oh, didn't they do a lot of fox farming down in Koliath?
Yeah.
Places, they had to be silver foxes. Is that about all?
Well, no, down in Aleutian Islands, it was all blue foxes. See, they just take and turn them loose on them island. They didn't have to do nothing to them. They'd live off the beaches, you know, the fish that wash up and all that stuff.
And they just go travel.
And then when the season would come, they'd go take so many off these islands, see? And they'd be like, I knew a guy down there, Hamshack was his name, and he was a guide down there during the war. He knew that country. Like Adak Island is a good sized island, but they take 600-800 foxes a year off of that. And then they quit, and then they leave this whole pack. And it was all depends how big the island is.
If they had a good year, food life.
Yeah, you didn't have to do nothing to them. They just had this company that had a lease on all these islands. And they just, in some of these bays, they just got Tarkins or shack, and they had traps. And then they take these tractors out from Dutch Harbor. They had a boat, so they take them out, they pick them up, and they leave them there for about 6 weeks, you know, and then they come and pick them up. And they give them so much of hell.
What was this man's name here, Morrison?
Well, he was the guy that started the frost farm. And then a guy took over it, and when Tim Willard bought him out, he started raising blue foxes. just about the time he got a good market went out of him, and he couldn't hardly give them away, you know, $10-$12 a piece.
What is that, to get out of the business then?
Well, he finally got tired out. And then,
yeah!
When was it that the price was really good? When was he really going to sell?
Well, in about 25, 26, and that's been through there. That's when the price was really big, you know. Fur was really high. Mm-hmm. You get a hold of some of those old price lists, and really, really. Well, people was using a lot of fur then. See, they didn't have this imitation fur. It was all genuine, and they were fur coats. And like in this country, when I come here, everybody had mucklucks and fur mitts and fur hats and parkas. You don't know.